The songs have been sung. Prayers have been prayed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will stand forever. Y'all, I really ain't even got to introduce this person. So I'm just going to call him up and let the Lord have his way. Put your hands together for our interim pastor, Pastor Dr. Reverend Williams. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give all praises and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega of our lives. You try to outlive him. He's the Alpha and Omega of all our lives. I give thanks to all of my co-laborers in the ministry. I give thanks to all of the ushers that stood at the door, all the deacons that welcome you here, all of my friends and family and even enemies, if there be any. I thank God for you all. I thank God most of all just to have the privilege to stand before you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Redeemer. Oh God, let us hear what you have to say to us. Oh God, let me decrease that you might increase. Let your anointing fall, oh God, upon these ears and these hearts, oh God. If there's anything in me that's not of your will, take me and place me back on the potter's wheel and shape and mold me into the vessel you'd have me to be. That we might give you all the glory that belongs to you. And at the end of the day, we will give you all the praise. This is your servant's prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ. And all his children said, amen. Amen. It is indeed an honor to stand before you. And I will try not to be long, but we're going to hear what the Word of God has to say. Amen. We'll be coming from the book of John, the 20th chapter. When you get there, if you could navigate your way to the 10th verse, as it is our custom, if you could stand for the reading. John, the 20th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. This is a very special occasion that we celebrate today. And this is a very familiar passage. John, the 20th chapter, starting at that 10th verse. And we're going to read down to the 20th. John, the 20th chapter, starting at the 10th verse, reading to the 20th verse. It reads, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet of where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew that it was not Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing that he was the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where his body lay, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples what she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And he said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, where the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to draw from this a title, if I would. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. It was April 15th, 1915. One of the most devastating maritime disasters there ever was. When a luxury liner that was called the unsinkable vessel sank. This vessel was the Titanic. And roughly 1,600 lives were lost that day. It was supposed to have been a day of joy and rejoicing. It was supposed to have been a cruise of a lifetime. It was supposed to be something to talk about with your children. But on that day, 4 days into the 7 days, that vessel sank. What a difference a day makes. Some of you might remember February 26, 1996, when without warning, without provocation, the World Trade Center was bombed. It was the first attack on American soil. 6 people lost their lives that day, and thousands were injured. On an ordinary day, which should have been nothing special, but thousands' lives were changed. What a difference a day makes. Most of you here can remember September the 11th, 2001, when 3,000 lives were lost, when 4 planes were hijacked by Muslim terrorists and flown into the Twin Towers in New York. 3,000 lives snuffed out. 3,000 lives changed what a difference a day makes. And when I say this to you, if something in your spirit is angered, if something in your spirit is hardened, if something in your spirit is pained, then you understand how the disciples felt on that Friday when a man named Jesus was taken into custody. When a man named Jesus on a Friday was tried, convicted, condemned, and placed on a cross to be executed, you understand what a difference a day makes. What a difference a day made in the life of the disciples. For they had been with the Christ 3 years. They had ate with him and slept with him. They were there with the Christ. And now the Savior is gone. The one who was supposed to change, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, is now gone. What a difference a day makes. And something else changed. It changed the faith of the disciples. The faith of the disciples were changed. For now, all they believed in, all they trusted, had been shattered. All that they were looking forward to was gone. How do you move on after this? After this tragedy? Here the disciples are now asking themselves the one question we all ask ourselves in the midst of the storm. Where do we go from here? Where do we go? The disciples were running it in their minds because there should have been something else that we could have done. There should have been something we could have said, or there should have been one way. It shouldn't have went down like this. And in one day, what a difference that a day makes. But they had forgot what Jesus said. The scripture must be fulfilled. I don't care how you look at it, how mad you get, how crossed you may feel, what you feel should have been done, the scripture must be fulfilled. But the one thing that they forgot, that there was a third day. What a difference a day makes. When John puts his pen to parchment and he starts to write about an encounter between Jesus Christ and Mary, something that preceded the crucifixion, this conversation, this interaction is one for the ages. But before I can go into that, I've got to give you some background, because I've got to go back a little bit. Because if you're going to understand this interaction, if you're going to understand and know about Mary talking to Jesus, we've got to go back a little bit. I've got to go back before they nailed him to the cross. I've got to go back and reflect when they pressed the thorns down on his head. I've got to go back before Judas betrayed him. I've got to go back to Thursday. when they were all sitting at the table. That Thursday, when they're having the Passover. They're having the Passover. Let me lay it out for you so you understand. They're having the Passover, and everybody is they're relaxing and reclining, and then Jesus gives them a prophetic word of what will come. Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." They're talking now. What do you mean, one of us? We've been together for 3 years. We dined together. We watched you as you raised Lazarus from the dead. We watched you when you stood and fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. We were there. What do you mean, one of us is going to betray you? What are you saying? And Peter says, ask him who it is. John says, Lord, who is it? Jesus says, the one that I dippeth my hand in the cup with will betray me. And just as he does, Judas' hand is still there in the cup. And Judas looks up and says, Lord, is it I? What you do, do it quickly. And they are marveled and perplexed. How could this happen? They're running it in their minds, and Jesus says, wait a minute. Don't get on your high horse. Don't start thinking you're better than Judas. Because after he betrays me, you're going to leave me. Because the scripture must be fulfilled. The scripture says, when the shepherd falls, the sheep will scatter. And Peter defends, Deacon. Peter decides to defend himself. Peter says, I wouldn't, nope. I won't leave you. I'll go with you to death. Whoa, Peter. You're not going to betray me. But you are going to deny me. And you're going to deny me 3 times. Doc, this always perplexed me. Why did Jesus wait to that moment? Why didn't Jesus tell them in Galilee? Why did not Jesus tell them when they were on the mount? Why didn't Jesus wait till that moment? Why did Jesus wait to tell them who was going to betray, who was going to deny? Why would Jesus wait? And you know, and as I studied this, I realized something. Jesus waited because this would be his final teaching. And he taught them that, yes, you're going to betray, you're going to deny, you're all going to run. But every one of us, under the right circumstances, every one of us, given the right chance and the right circumstances, we all will turn our back on God. But Jesus wanted them to know, even though you betray me, even though you deny me, even though you walk out on me, Jesus wanted them to know there's still salvation and grace and mercy at the cross. Yeah. this thing. See, Jesus had to let them know that even a righteous man falls seven times. Don't you think that because, see, this is a word for somebody right now. I want to let you know this is a word for somebody out there who thinks that maybe you've done too much and God's not going to forgive you and there's some things in your past that you've done. No. Jesus is telling us that none of us are worthy. It's only through grace that we're here. It's only through mercy that he's given us the opportunity. I don't care how big your Bible is. I don't care how much all you have in your purse. All of us are falling short of the glory. This message is what Jesus was displaying to them. Jesus wanted them to know that, yes, this is going to happen because the scripture has to be fulfilled. But I want you to know that on the third day, I'll be back. Now watch this. Let's move to the text. Mary is at the sepulchre. And Mary has looked, and Jesus isn't there. Mary has looked, and she can't see the body. She calls and tells the disciples to come. They come. Peter and John, they get there, and they can't find the body. And they're wondering in their mind what happened to the body. We know we put the body here. We know we wrapped it. We know that Joseph of Arimathea was the one who begged Pilate to take the body down. We know this. Where is the body? And so they start to leave. But Mary is still looking. Mary is still trying to understand. That's why she stooped down, because she's trying to look for clues. She's trying to see something that maybe someone left. Mary is still trying to look. But the problem is, Mary is like the disciples. Mary hasn't remembered what Jesus said when he said, "No man can take my life, but I'll lay it down on my own. And if I lay it down, I have the power and the authority to pick it up." See, they came to the tomb looking for a body. They came to the tomb looking for a wrapped body. They came to looking for something battered, beaten, and broken. What they should have been doing was looking for a risen Savior. Then they would have saw it. This encounter that Jesus has with Mary, it gives us three things that teaches us to understand. I want to give them to you real quick, and I'm going to take my seat. We're going to get ready to eat. But listen to these three things that it teaches us. Jesus is trying to show Mary, but it also shows us. The first thing that it shows us is never allow your past pain to block your present promise. Let me say this again for you. Let me say it again so you'll understand. Never allow your past pain to block his present promise. Yeah. A word for someone, because someone out there right now is living in the past. Someone out there is still living in pain from yesterday. Someone out there has not stripped away some things that have happened in their life. Someone out there still has some church hurt in their heart. Someone out there has been hurt, confused. Someone out there needs to know, don't allow that past pain to stop the present promise of God. See, I know the reason why the disciples couldn't see Jesus. I know the reason why they couldn't get past that little thing. The reason is because they were living in past pain of what Friday brought. They were living in the Friday, and they were looking for Friday in Sunday. On Friday, they remembered a beaten and broken body. On Friday, they remembered a shadow of a man wrapped and placed down. That was Friday, but it's not Friday, it's Sunday. You can't go into Sunday reliving Friday. See, here we go. So you've got to understand that you have to put your pain behind you. But the only way to put your pain behind you is that you're going to have to face it. You can never fix your problem until you face it. You can never fix your problem until you face it. That's why the disciples were hiding, because they knew what they had done. That's why they were hiding. That's why Jesus came to them while they were hiding inside of a room. Jesus steps in and he says to them, "Peace be unto you." Peter's sitting in the back because Peter's got his head down, because Peter can't believe that he denied the Christ. Peace, Peter, peace be unto you. First thing, never allow your past to block your present promise. And then we learn, watch this, it teaches us be patient and persistent in your pursuit. See, when Mary came, Mary wasn't leaving till somebody told her something. Somebody's going to tell me something of where that body is. Mary got ghetto. Mary went off. Mary said, "Somebody has taken my Lord. Somebody knows. I don't care if I got to ask the angels. I don't care if I got to ask the gardener. Somebody knows, and I need to know who knows where my Lord and Savior is at." You never allow your patience and your perseverance to be stopped, because if you're in pursuit of God, if you're in pursuit of God, when you become in pursuit of God, you got to continue. You got to press for the higher mark. See, that's the problem. That's a problem with a lot of us. We have a problem. We don't know how to be persistent. We don't know how to be persistent and patient and wait on God. We believe that this is my prayer. Watch this. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before..." No, baby, no. You got to understand with God. If you're going to be persistent, I don't care how long, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to be persistent. Don't you remember Jairus? Jairus was the ruler from the synagogue. His daughter was dying, and he comes to Jesus Christ. Jairus comes to Jesus Christ and says, "Please save my child." Jesus agrees. While on the way to Jairus' house, someone comes and says, "Your daughter is dead. No need to bother the master. No more need for that church stuff. No more need for that Jesus stuff. Your daughter is dead. Come on home." And Jesus hears this. And Jesus does not confront them. He simply looks at Jairus and says, "If you believe, if you believe. If you have faith, she'll be all right. Don't you know that if you believe, if you got faith, if you trust, if you keep your hands right, if you look to the sky, from to the hills, from whence cometh your help, it's going to be all right. But how dare you? How dare you throw in the towel? How dare you just give up? How dare you stop when he's done so much to you? When he's brought you a mighty long way? How dare you? When the midnight hour came and you didn't have anyone to talk to, how dare you say, I quit? Never allow your past pain to block his present promise. Be patient and persist while you're in your pursuit. And watch this, watch this, watch this. It teaches us that God will do what he says he'll do. I know your neighbor didn't say amen. They missed a blessing right there, because God will do what God says he's going to do. You've got to remember, God said it. That's all it is to it. When Jesus meets Mary on that Sunday, he meets Mary and allows her to remember what he said, that on the third day he would rise. When Jesus meets Mary, he lets us understand that God's word is assured. God's word is assured. It's assured because he meets Mary. He was dead on Friday, but now he's meeting Mary on Sunday. God's word is assured. He was dead on Friday, but now it's Sunday. What a difference a day makes. Because Sunday, now he's alive. He was dead on Friday, dead on Saturday, but now it's Sunday. What a difference a day makes. You got to understand that when you come into your problems and people ask you, well, why do you do that? Why do you sing? And why do you, all you have to say is because Christ lives. How can all things work together for good for those who love the Lord? Because Christ lives. How do I know that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning? Because Christ lives. How do I know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all? Because Christ lives. How do I know that I can do all things if that's possible through Christ who strengthened me? Because Christ lives. See, this cross, the cross was just one point. The cross was there because the scripture must be fulfilled. But oh, the resurrection. The resurrection. That's the main point. See, because without the resurrection, there was just the cross. Without the resurrection, everything else didn't matter. He had to finish it all. He had to go to the cross. He had to stay there the 3 days. And then on Sunday, wake up with all power. So when they ask you, when someone asks you that foolish question, why? Why do y'all shout? Why do y'all? Because I remember the cross. I remember what resurrection is all about. When I start to remember that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When I think of the resurrection, I remember that I can do all things through him that strengthens me. When I see the resurrection, I know that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I think about the resurrection, I know that his rod and his staff, They comfort me when I think about the resurrection. When I think about the resurrection, I'm reminded of an old rugged cross. When I think about the resurrection, I'm reminded of a place called Calvary. I'm reminded when I see the resurrection, I'm reminded of a man named Jesus. A Jesus that was whipped all night. Whipped all night. And drug and placed, nailed to a cross. They nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. They pressed a crown down on his head. When I think about resurrection, all I can think about is he stayed there from the sixth to the ninth hour. They lifted him high and stretched him wide. When I think about the resurrection, I think about, and then he died. Didn't he die? Didn't he die? But early, they say early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Not just black power, not white power, all power in his hand. When I think about the resurrection, I remember what he did for me. Because if he hadn't gone to the cross and woke up, I wouldn't be here right now. When we think about the resurrection, we know God's word is assured that everything is going to be all right. And no matter what happens in our lives, all you have to do is remember resurrection. What a difference a day makes. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."